I begin this morning by asking the question, does it make any difference what you believe? Does it make any difference what you believe in your life? The belief system that you have in various areas of your life, especially in your relationship with God. Does it make any difference what you believe? A lot of times I hear today from individuals that it doesn't make any difference what you believe as long as you are sincere. And so that's a way of justifying all the different churches, all the different religions, all the different denominations. It doesn't make a difference what you believe as long as you are sincere. And so on this morning, on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about that a little bit. And let's let the Bible speak to that matter. Now, before we look at this in the realm of religion and our relationship with God, just stop and ask yourself, and just stop and think about it for a minute. Does it make any difference what you believe? I find it interesting that people that make this comment regarding religion, they actually don't put that into practice in other areas of their life. They tend to just apply that to religion. And for the fact of that, or the evidence of that, you find that when they talk about other matters in their life, they believe that it's very important to go on competency or facts or proper information or talent or ability. And we can't just believe whatever we want. They will apply that in other areas of their life. For example, when they go to a doctor and they're the patient, they want to make sure that the doctor is competent and has gone to med school and can actually help them with their particular problem, whatever it is. They don't say, well, you know, it doesn't matter what the doctor believes as long as he's sincere. No, that's not how they go about that. They want that doctor to be accurate and right. And when parents send their children to school, and schools have changed greatly through the years, parents used to say, we want our children to go to a school where the teachers are competent. They are learned, they are educated, they're teaching the right thing in the right way. You don't hear parents say, well, you know, it doesn't matter what teachers believe as long as they are sincere. Nobody says that. My children can go to any teacher they want as long as they're sincere. Sincerity has nothing to do with teaching math. Competency does. Sincerity really has nothing to do with being a physician. But passing the medical bar and exam does. Sincerity is really a side issue in many areas of our life, and we recognize that. Except when it comes to religion, all of a sudden we say, well, it doesn't matter what one believes. It doesn't make any difference. What about with regard to the employer-employee relationship? Well, it doesn't matter what our employer believes as long as he's sincere. And the same thing with an employee. Are you kept on at a job because you're just sincere? Or because you can actually get the job done? Now again, some of those things are even changing today, and we're getting away from a meritocracy, meaning a system based on merit and ability. We're moving away from that, and it's just whatever group a person fits in, we check off that box, whatever their race is, or whatever their gender is, or whatever their color is, we just check off the box and they're allowed to be in such and such group. We don't even ask, many don't ask anymore, if the person is even competent and capable of doing the job. So we're moving away from that, but at least in years gone by, we asked for competency, and it doesn't matter whether a person is sincere or not, can they get the job done? So I know for a fact that people don't make this statement in other areas of their life. All of a sudden, they just make it, you know, in the area of religion, because this is a way for them to justify the many religions, maybe the one that they're in, rather than the New Testament church. The fact of the matter is, the Bible, God in His Word, He points out basic differences here and there. And he shows that there is a difference, and it started all the way back in the Garden of Eden. There's a difference in how Adam and Eve lived before they sinned and when they sinned. There's a difference. God didn't say, well, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe. If you want to eat that fruit, that's fine. If you want to believe that that's okay, that's fine. As long as you're sincere, I'll let you stay in the garden. No, they were cast out of the garden when they sinned. And all the way down through time, up until today and until Jesus comes again. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus pointed out that there's a broad way that leads to destruction and there's a narrow way that leads to eternal life. He pointed out the basic differences of those two roads and the different people traveling and the different consequences. It does make a difference what we believe. And all the way to the end of time, in the judgment day, Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 46, that all nations will be gathered before him. Some will be parted on the right hand and some on the left. There's a difference. And then he talks about those on his right hand going into eternal life and those on his left hand going into eternal destruction. There's a difference in where people are going, heaven or hell. So I find it interesting in the Word of God that there are all kinds of differences that are pointed out, light and darkness, good and evil, righteousness and unrighteousness, wickedness and goodness, and heaven and hell, and saved and lost. Yeah, there's all kinds of differences that are pointed out in the people who are in those different areas of their life. Yet today, it doesn't make a difference what one believes. Friends, that's just a lie. It's not the truth of the Word of God. And when a person sincerely says it doesn't make any difference, just because he sincerely says it doesn't make it right. What makes something right or wrong with regard to God is it found in His Word or not? So this morning on the program, let's talk a little bit about, does it make any difference? Does it make any difference? You know, in town, and I've heard people give me feedback on this because they read it in the newspaper about the different health department scores of some of these restaurants in town. Some get very good scores. Some get very poor scores. And those who get very poor scores, often the people that eat there get some sort of a stomach virus or food poisoning, and that has happened to a friend of mine recently. And different ones went to this same restaurant that was getting bad scores, and different ones at different times were still getting the same sickness. Well, could we say, well, you know, it doesn't matter what a restaurant believes as long as they're sincere? No, it does. It can make people sick. And, you know, if you're not careful, if you go down this road of this idea, then you're going to end up getting hurt or hurting somebody else. Sincerity does not cook food properly. Following the rules cooks food properly. And that's why we have a health department that goes around checking off things, and one of the boxes on the health report is not sincerity. They check off, is it clean or not? Is the food at the right temperature or not? Is it cooked well or not? Are things properly stored in the refrigerator or the freezer or not? Are there dirty items around or not? Those are the things that determine proper food preparation. There's not a box on there that says, are these people sincere? And so you can get sick, you can hurt somebody, you can get hurt. But more importantly, friends, you can be lost at the end of time by following this idea. So let's talk about it. There's quite a bit here, and I will probably take some time this morning to talk about it, and then, Lord willing, next Sunday morning to wrap this idea up. There's a lot here to look at, and I hope that by looking at all of it, we can learn the Word of God. It's such a prevalent attitude that I wanted to bring it to our attention on the program. So this morning, I want to look at four of these, it doesn't make any difference statements, and then next week we'll look at some other things related to it. Number one, it doesn't make any difference what you believe as long as you are sincere. So I've been talking about that. Let's start with that one. And what I want to do in these examples this morning is just simply look at some Bible examples of the same thing, of the same thing, and find that sincerity was not the case. It's not what is the determining factor. So it doesn't make any difference what you believe as long as you are sincere. Well, let's look at the example of Saul of Tarsus before he became the Apostle Paul. The Saul of Tarsus was a zealous Jew, and he was persecuting the New Testament church. He didn't like Jesus being preached, and so he stood at the feet of Stephen while he was being stoned. He didn't want preaching for Jesus, and he cast his vote for stoning Stephen, and he persecuted New Testament Christians. He brought them to Jerusalem so that they could be on trial and even be put to death or imprisoned for their Christianity. He was an intricate part of that. He was zealous. He was persecuting the church, he said in Philippians chapter 3. Well, when he was doing all of that, what was his sincerity factor? Well, he was completely sincere. Paul, looking back on his life in Acts chapter 23 and verse 1, he looked steadfastly on the council when he was before the Sanhedrin there in Jerusalem. Brethren, I have lived before God in all good conscience until this day. Well, that includes all that time in which he was persecuting New Testament Christians. He lived in all good conscience. If you turn over to Acts chapter 26, again, when he is looking back over his life before Agrippa and making his defense there, he says in Acts chapter 26 and verse 9, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this also I did in Jerusalem, and both shut up many of the saints in prisons, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my vote against them. And punishing them oftentimes in all the synagogues, I strove to make them blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto foreign cities. And then he talks about when he was going up to Damascus to do that very thing, he meets the resurrected Lord, goes into Damascus, is baptized into Christ, and becomes a Christian himself. And he himself then becomes persecuted. But he says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He had a perfectly sincere conscience. As he would write later to Timothy, void of offense. And yet, he was wrong. And in verse 14, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Jesus said to him. And he had to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins in the parallel account in Acts 22 and verse 16. He was in sin, friends, while being sincere. You can be in sin while being sincere. And so it does make a difference. Don't buy into that lie. Well, as long as people are sincere, they're fine. You know what they are? They're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. Paul said, I thought, but he thought wrong. In fact, we find that same statement back in 2 Kings 5 with Naaman the leper. And when the messenger of Elisha told him how to be cleansed of his leprosy, to go dip seven times in the Jordan, Naaman was wroth. He was mad, 2 Kings 5:11, and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name and recover the leprosy. And then he made questions about, well, why can't I go up to the rivers here in Damascus, where he was from, the Abana and Pharpar. Why do I have to go all the way down to that dirty Jordan River? And he said, I thought. Naaman thought, but he thought wrong. Paul thought, but he thought wrong. And so we need to get away from that. These people are sincere, they're honest, they're upright, but they're sincerely and they're honestly and they're uprightly wrong in sin. So yes, it does make a difference. But as we continue on, does it make any difference how you worship as long as you are sincere? This is very common today. People in all these different churches in Clarksville, different denominations, some of it is not according to the truth of the New Testament. New Testament Christians did not sing with instruments. They sang, and that's all they did, Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. They took the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, Acts 20:7, and there's a first day of the week every week. They didn't take it quarterly. They didn't take it biannually or things like that. They were immersed in water for the remission of their sins. Baptism is an immersion. There wasn't sprinkling. There wasn't pouring. There were not priests in the New Testament church that were different from the members. All the members, all the saints were priests, not a separate class that wore separate gowns. And we could go on and on and on. No incense, no candles, no bands, no sprinkling and pouring, no praying to Mary, and on and on and on. But somebody says, well, it doesn't make any difference how you worship as long as you are sincere. There are Bible examples of people that are sincerely worshiping, but they're wrong. Cain and Abel were sincere in their worship, but God made a distinction between them. He accepted Abel's sacrifice and he rejected Cain's sacrifice because Abel did it by faith. Hebrews 11 verse 4, it makes a difference. So we've got to keep that in mind. And the difference comes by obeying the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. That's where we get our faith, and that's where we get our instructions on how to worship. We worship God in spirit and in truth, John 4 and verse 24. We have to worship according to what the Scripture says, not what we feel in our heart. And that has been so common among man for decades and even centuries and even millennia. What I feel in my heart. No, what saith the Scripture? That's the determining factor. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus rebukes the Jews who were offering up a vain worship. A vain worship. Some of them, no doubt, were sincere. In Acts chapter 17, Paul in Athens said that they were worshiping ignorantly. There was an ignorant worship there in Athens. No doubt many of them were sincere. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul talks about a will worship. No doubt some there were sincere. You can be sincere and have a vain worship, an ignorant worship, a will worship, meaning a worship according to your own will, and it all be wrong. We need to worship in spirit and in truth, friends. It does make a difference. Just like it makes a difference in all those other areas of our life, at the doctor and at school and the employer. And we could even apply that to the parent-child relationship. Does it matter what a parent believes about raising children as long as they're sincere? What if you got parents, and we do in Tennessee, you've got parents who are strung out on meth and crack, and they're raising their children in their environment Is that okay? You say, no, that's not okay. We need to call child services. No, leave them alone. It doesn't make a difference what you believe as long as you're sincere. And what about parents who beat their children? Is it okay as long as they're sincere? What about parents? What about a father or a stepfather who sexually assaults a daughter or a stepdaughter? Is that okay as long as he's sincere? Nope, we won't stand for that. You see, sincerity all of a sudden doesn't work in that situation. And to that I would say amen. And it doesn't work, friends, in our relationship with God. And it's not a matter of sincerity. It's a matter of what the Bible says. It's a matter of right and wrong. So, as we continue on, some people say, it doesn't make any difference if you go to church or not, so long as you are good and sincere. Okay. Well, that's been going on a long time. It's gotten worse since the pandemic. That has given people an excuse not to go. And even before the pandemic, going back to, 2005 to 2010, along in there, I started hearing about virtual church, going to church on your phone, going to church on your computer. Well, no, that's not true. Let me ask you this. Why did Jesus die and build a church if it doesn't make any difference if you go or not? And of course, the people are the church. Matthew 16, 18, upon this rock I will build my church. And in Acts chapter 20, when Paul was talking to the elders at Ephesus, he said that Jesus shed his blood for the church. The church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. Why in the world did Jesus do that if it doesn't make a difference or not, whether you go or not, or whether you're a Christian or not, or whether you assemble or not? Jesus died and wasted all of his time. All of it was for nothing if you don't even have to go and be a part of anything in order to go to heaven. No, that's just simply, again, an excuse to keep me from being a dedicated Christian who attends the assembly to worship God every Sunday. Nope, I want my Sunday for golf and sitting around the house and cutting the yard and reading the newspaper and piddling on this and driving around in town and doing that, taking a break. I don't want to have to be a committed church-going Christian. You know, there are all kinds of people in the New Testament who were good people, but they were lost. I don't have time this morning to, for example, to go to the book of Acts, starting in Acts chapter 2, and talk about all the good or devout, Acts 2:5, devout Jews who were there. But Peter said, you're lost. You're lost. And you need to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Fortunately, some 3,000 did that. Others did not. We could go to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, who had been to Jerusalem to worship, but he was lost. He was a good person. We could go to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He was a good person. He gave to the needy and he prayed to God, but he was lost until he was baptized. Friends, it makes a difference. Don't buy into that lie that it doesn't. You're going to find yourself on the wrong side of the ledger. You're going to find yourself on the left hand instead of the right hand in the judgment day. And you're going to say, oh, there is a difference. I wish somebody would have told me that. I'm trying to tell you that now. With love and concern and compassion and kindness. To speak the truth of love on these matters so that we're not duped and fooled. But we will understand that it makes a difference. And sincerity, certainly we need to be sincere. There are plenty of Bible passages that tell us that we should have, for example, a sincere faith. What I'm saying this morning is sincerity alone is not the determining factor, and often sincerity is wrong. The heart of man is deceitful, and it is not in man, Jeremiah 10:23, to direct his own steps. And there's a way that seems right, but the end of that way is death, the proverb writer says. So it's our feelings and our sincerity and things alone that are the problem. Obviously, when we conform our lives to God's word, he wants us to do that in a sincere way. But the conformity to God's word is the beginning of that process. And then, last of all, it doesn't make any difference what church you attend so long as you go and are sincere. Well, I know that this is completely wrong, first of all, because there were no multiple churches in the New Testament to demonstrate this. Multiple churches did not exist in the New Testament. So how do you know that? How do you know that, friend? And this is an interesting thing. When somebody says, it doesn't make any difference what you believe as long as you're sincere, say, how do you know that from the Bible? Well, I don't know. That's just what I feel. How do you know that it doesn't make any difference how you worship so long as you're sincere from the Bible? Show me that from the Bible. Show me from the Bible it doesn't make any difference if you go to church or not. Show me from the Bible it doesn't make any difference what church you attend as long as you go. Show me from the Bible that there were different denominations. No, there was one. There's one body and there's one church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, Jesus is the head of the body, which is his church. And chapter 4, 4 through 6, there's one body along with other things that are singular in nature. One body, one church. It does make a difference. Jesus is the Savior of the body, not bodies, Ephesians 5, 25. Not only that, but religious groups that did exist in the New Testament that are no longer the way to God are going to be plucked up. Matthew 15, 13, talking about religious people, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted up shall be rooted up. Has not planted shall be rooted up. Matthew 15, 13. There were, when I said earlier, there were not churches, I meant by that the denominational churches that we know. There were other religions. There was Roman religion. There was Greek religion. We see that in Athens in Acts 17. Roman religion, we see that in Revelation 13, emperor worship. There was Jewish religion, of course. There was Gnosticism, there was paganism, there were religions that were coming from the East, from Persia. But these things are not the way. Jesus is the way. And there were certainly not other churches. So friends, it makes a difference. As we come to the close of the program, let's bring our lives into conformity to what God's Word says. And if I can help you to do that, let's do that before it's too late. I don't want you to be going down the wrong road and really not realize it. I want us to have the truth of the matter. It makes a difference, and let's be on that side that is given to us by God's Word. If we can help you to do that, please come and join us. Thank you for being with us today on the program, and have a good day.